Well, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 1 in your Bible. Amen. Glory be to God. We're going to talk today about the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was on Jesus' life. Amen. Jesus anointed of the Holy Spirit. You know, everything Jesus did while he was in the earth, he didn't do by some intrinsic divine ability because he was the Son of God. Amen. Jesus himself said, he said, the Father within me, he doeth the works. Amen. I believe that's in John 14:10. He said, the Father within me, he do the mighty outbursts of power. The signs, the wonders and miracles are done by the Spirit of God. Amen. He said, everything he did by the Spirit of God. Amen. Everything Jesus did on this earth, he did by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. Did you hear that? Amen. Did you hear that? Amen. Hallelujah. He said, the Father within me, he doeth the works. And what he was referring to was the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was upon him and within him. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God lived within Jesus, dwelled within Jesus, and also came upon Jesus for times of ministry. Everything Jesus did in this earth, he did as a human man, as a human being, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Not because he was the Son of God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, 7 through 10, that when Jesus came into this earth, he stripped himself of deity, and he humbled himself like unto the fashion of a man. He became a human being. Yes, he was fully God, but yes, he was fully man. And he stripped himself of the glory that he was accustomed to in heaven, that he knew in heaven. And he came into this earth, was baptized with the Holy Spirit, and did everything that he did by the agency of the Holy Spirit, not as the Son of God. Which is why he said in John 14:12, he said, the works that I do, you can do as well. Because I go to the Father and I'll send the same Holy Spirit that was upon me and within me to come back and to indwell you and come upon you. That's what he said in John 14:12. Amen. So we're going to look at just some of the ways that Jesus was anointed of the Holy Spirit while he was here on the earth. I'm going to say it again. Jesus did not perform miracles, cast out unclean spirits, healed the sick, because he was the Son of God. He did it as a man, 100% human man, baptized and anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. He said so himself. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. That's how he went about doing good. That's how he went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That's what the Bible means by, for God was with him. God was with him through the agency or the person of the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. Amen? Don't we know that around here? He's not an it. It's improper to call the Holy Spirit it. We don't ever want to call the Holy Spirit it. Do you want to be called an it? Amen? It's my wife. Amen? She is my wife. Her name is Barbara, and she's a living, breathing human personality. Amen? The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a human person, but he's a person. He has a mind. He can be grieved. He has intellect. He has will. He has emotions. Amen? We saw that a couple of weeks back in a Wednesday night service where we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 16, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead you. He will guide you. He will show you things to come. Nine times in two verses of Scripture right over there in John 16, nine times Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as he, not as it. He's not an it, and it's rude to call him it. Amen? We call him he. Amen? He's a person. And he's the one who anointed Jesus to do everything he did on the earth. Are you there in Matthew chapter 1? Amen? Matthew chapter 1, that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to give you 7 or 8 ways, and we're going to have to go through them quickly. Amen? You can't spend a lot of time with them, but you can take good notes. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, we just encourage note-taking around here, and we even facilitate note-taking around here. We even put it on the back of the bulletin, and we even give you a pen if you want to write these verses of Scripture down. God bless you. Good morning. It's good to see you. Amen? Hallelujah. On the back of that bulletin, there's a way that you can take notes. Amen. So you can get those scriptures. Amen. We want to send you home with scripture. Amen. Jesus said, in the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. We like to give you two or three verses of scripture for everything that we teach in context, so that you can know I'm not just giving you opinion. You don't need my opinion. My opinion will get you in more trouble than you're already in. You need God's Word. I need God's Word. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I do need Barbara's opinion, but that's another story. Amen? Matthew chapter 1. We're going to talk. Going to go through these quickly. There's about seven or eight ways that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Listen, if Jesus was anointed in the Holy, by the Holy Spirit in all the ways we're going to look at this morning, how much more do you need to be anointed by the Holy Spirit to live and to preach and to teach and to cast out unclean spirits, to heal the sick, to die and to raise again, just like He did? If He was so dependent on the Holy Spirit, how much more dependent are we? Amen? Pastor, you said you're going to read in Matthew chapter 1. I am. Thank you for your patience. Look right here, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, referring to human sexual relationship, there was none between Mary and Joseph. Amen? She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Amen? This is talking about a supernatural, immaculate conception. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He didn't know yet that that happened by the Holy Spirit. You know, he figured she's out alley catting somewhere. That's what he thought. He's going to get rid of her. Amen? And while he thought on these things, how he can get rid of her, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, that's Isaiah, saying, behold, and if you want to look this up, this is in Isaiah 7:14. That's what he's referring to. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. A virgin! We do believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else is the spirit of Antichrist. Amen? A lot of mainline denominations are saying today, we don't need to believe in the virgin birth anymore. Well, is that right? No, that's wrong. We believe in the virgin birth. If Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, He's not our Savior. Amen? He's not the one who was prophesied. But He was born of a virgin. We believe that. Amen? A virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth the son. They'll call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And He is with us. Amen? Then Joseph being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not. No human sexual relationship going on here. Amen. He knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now here, right here, the scripture clearly declares that Jesus Christ was not conceived the way that a normal human being is conceived. Amen. He wasn't conceived the way a normal. Oh, what's normal? It's like sitting on the clothes dryer. But you know what I mean by normal. I said normal is the setting on the clothes dryer. I'm not saying that Jesus is abnormal, but He wasn't conceived in the normal way. He was conceived what the Catholic Church calls immaculately. We can go along with that. That's okay. That's a good way to put it. Amen? He was conceived supernaturally. Amen? He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Now some churches and some one mainline denomination in their foolishness says that the Holy Spirit actually had sexual intercourse with Mary. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Well, no, the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life is that there's more than one race of human beings. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. That there's a white race, a yellow race, a red race, and a black race. There's one race! It's the human race! Get used to it. One God, one family, one body. That's all there is to it. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. The second dumbest thing I ever heard in my life is there's more than one race. Interracial marriages, I told you before, I don't believe in them. where are you going to find another race to marry into? Mars? There's only one race. Interracial children? Don't believe in them. Where are you going to find another race to have babies with? Pluto? There's only one race of man. It's the human race. And there's marriages, and there's babies. Period! Anything else is stinking thinking. Amen? Anything else is demonically inspired. So that's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. The second dumbest thing I ever heard in my life is that the Holy Spirit had sexual intercourse with Mary. There's one mainline denomination in this earth that teaches such foolishness. That is not how that happened. The Holy Spirit touched her womb supernaturally in Jesus. I don't know how he did it. The pre-existent one. The man who existed. He wasn't a man in heaven. He's a spirit being in heaven. Amen. But he had a spirit body, a mind, a will, intellect, and emotions. Like God the Father, like the Holy Spirit. I don't know how he did it. But he shrunk himself down. He got himself into a little seed in a woman's womb. Amen? And that's supernatural. If you don't believe that, you're not a believer. Amen? You're something else. Some sort of a freak. I don't even know what to call you. Amen? Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's no other way to God but through Jesus. There's just no other way. He said that, not me. Don't get mad at me. He said it, not me. That's the boldest statement ever made by any human being. He said, there's one way to God. It's through me. You can't go over me, under me, around me. You've got to go through me to get to the Father. John 14:6. Amen. And that man, Jesus Christ, somehow, he existed in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit from the dateless, timeless past. He wasn't Jesus in heaven. He wasn't the Son of God in heaven. He became Jesus, and he became the Son of God on earth. Hebrews 1:5, this day I have begotten you in the virgin's womb. He was co-equal with God in the Holy Spirit in heaven. He was Jehovah in heaven. He became Jesus on the earth. The angel said to Mary, you shall call his name Jesus. His name wasn't Jesus yet. And he shall become the Redeemer of the earth. He wasn't the Redeemer yet. Who was he in heaven? I don't know. Neither do you. So there, we just know that he was co-equal part of the Trinity. Amen? But he became God's Son in the earth. And I know some people's head goes, tilt when you tell them that, but that's the truth. Hebrews 1:5 says, this day I've begotten thee. This day I've begotten you as my Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He wasn't God's Son till he came into the earth. That's a big revelation, but you can handle it. Amen? Just take it by faith. That's all. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen? Well, we know that he wasn't conceived the way that normal human beings are conceived. Amen? Hallelujah. When Jesus was conceived, by the way, it wasn't the conception of a human personality. It was the conception of a human nature. He already had a personality. He existed in heaven before he came here. Jesus' conception, that wasn't the beginning of his life. It was the beginning of his life on earth as a human being. But he always existed in the dateless past with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? So when Jesus was conceived in the earth, that was the beginning of a human nature, not the beginning of a personality or a person. So you got that, right? And that was accomplished, the Bible says. Mary was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Listen, everything he did on this earth, he did by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did nothing apart from the agency or the person of the Holy Spirit. Go in your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 48. Now, if you came in early today, you had opportunity to mark these scriptures in your Bible. You already know where we're going. You can get there quickly. Normally, at the beginning of the service, when you come in early, you'll find this piece of paper like this, you see, hanging on the pulpit. And that means, write them down! Because we're about to turn to them together. Amen? If you came in earlier, you wrote these verses of Scripture down. And you can get over there with me. If not, you just write them down on the back of the bulletin. You can look them up when you get home later. Amen? Everything Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're going to start off with this fact. Jesus was sent to the earth by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was sent here by the Holy Spirit. In Isaiah chapter 48. would help if I went there, wouldn't it? Isaiah chapter 48. Look at this verse of scripture right here in chapter 48, verse 16. Come ye near unto me and hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there I am. And now, this is what I want you to see. The Lord God and His Spirit have sent me. The Lord God and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has sent me. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit sent Jesus into the earth. Now, yes, Jesus came willingly. He said, I come, I lay my life down, I pick it up again, I do it willingly. No one takes my life, amen. No one's forcing me to do this. He said, I came willingly, but He came through a command or a commissioning of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was sent into the earth as a missionary by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit has sent me. Jesus said right here on Isaiah 48:16. You know what that word sent means when you look it up in the Hebrew? It means to sow. He said the Holy Spirit has sown me. He has sown me. Sown me. Planted me as a seed into the human race that the Father might ultimately harvest human beings. Human beings. He sowed Jesus as a seed towards a harvest. He wanted a human family. He's a good farmer. He knows if you want a harvest, you've got to plant a seed. So He planted His Son, Jesus Christ, towards a harvest of humanity. And that harvest is still growing today. Growing and growing and growing until Jesus finally comes and lifts us out of here. But in the meantime, God is adding to His family through a human harvest of moral free human agents who, as a conscious act of their own free will, make a decision to become a part of the family of God by accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He said, the Spirit of the Lord has sown me into the human race. Because the Father is looking for a harvest of human souls. Amen? So the Holy Spirit sent him. Do you see that? Hallelujah. That's pretty good information. So that's number one. Jesus was sent into the earth by the Holy Spirit. Number two, of course, once He was sent into the earth, He was conceived, as we've already seen, in the womb of a virgin by the Holy Spirit. We read that in Matthew 1:18 a moment ago. The Bible says Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit, not Joseph. Amen? Joseph wasn't Jesus' father. He was His stepdaddy. Amen? Number three, go to Luke chapter 2, if you would. Jesus' physical, intellectual, and spiritual growth are all attributed to the Holy Spirit. Where are you going? Luke 2? Jesus' physical growth, His emotional growth, while He was on this earth, once He was birthed through Mary's womb. By the way, He came into the earth through the legal door of Mary's womb. You don't have a right to be in this earth if you don't have a belly button. That's why you won't find anybody in this earth without a belly button. Amen? I mean, there are things that happen, you know, mutated cells and such as that, and conjoined twins come together and you can't find that belly button. But it's there. It's in there, amen. They're connected to their mother some way, amen. You have to come into this earth through the legal door of a woman's womb, and that's exactly what Jesus did. John chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus said, anybody who doesn't come in through the door of the sheepfold is a thief and a robber. That's why Jesus came into the sheepfold through the door of His mother's womb. It was a legal door of His mother's womb. Amen? Jesus had the absolute right to take authority over the devil on our behalf because He came here through the legal door of a woman's womb. Amen? That's why the devil has to obey Him because He's a human being. That's why the devil has to obey us. God has given us authority in this earth, not the devil. Amen? Where are we? We're talking about everything about Jesus that is anointed of the Holy Spirit of God. And we're moving kind of quickly. You help me, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, to cover only what we need to cover. I told you, Jesus' physical growth, His intellectual growth, and His spiritual growth are all attributed to the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Look right here in Luke chapter 2:40. The child grew. Are you there? Amen, if you're there. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. You might want to circle that in your Bible, that's a reference to the Holy Spirit if you look it up in the original Greek. That's specifically referring to the person of the Holy Spirit. He grew and waxed strong in spirit, was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now let's look over here. Oh, glory be to God. What's a good place to go over here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He grew and he waxed. Look at, pick it up with me in verse 46. It came to pass. See, Jesus dropped out of sight in Jerusalem one day when he was 12 years old. They went back looking for him. Amen. In verse 46, they found him in the temple. That after 3 days, they found him in the temple. After 3 days of searching, sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. And all the doctors that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Amen. He had more wisdom than a 12-year-old ought to have. Amen. The Holy Spirit was teaching these rabbis through him. Amen. He waxed strong in spirit by the Holy Spirit to where he could discern the scriptures for them. And when Joseph and Mary in verse 48 saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Why'd you drop out of sight like this for 3 days? Let me just tell you that this wasn't an act of obedience. He's 12 years old now. And according to the law of the Hebrews, he was now a son of the word, a son of God's word. He was considered an adult at 12 years old, and he had the right to make this decision and go back to the temple and not travel in the caravan if he didn't want to. It's kind of like, you know, a Jewish bar mitzvah today when you're 13. Your bar mitzvah, you're considered a man. In Jesus' day, you were considered a man at 12. He figured, I'm a man, don't need permission. I'm going to go back and correct some of that false doctrine I've been hearing while we've been up here in Jerusalem this week. Amen? So that's where he was. Amen? And look what Mary said. Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And Jesus said to him in essence here, he's not my father. Mary said, why have you done this to me and your father? Jesus is saying that he's not my father. Look what Jesus said. He said, how is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? He said, Joseph's not my father. God's my father. I'm here legally. I'm here morally. I'm here scripturally. I'm here justly doing my father's business by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And of course, they couldn't understand what in the world he was talking about. Amen? But you understand. Amen? Joseph wasn't his father. Jesus said so. He said, God's my father and I'm here doing his business, teaching by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Can you see that? So, praise God, Jesus wasn't created as a full-grown man like Adam was. Amen? He was birthed into the earth as a human baby, and he grew up just like you and I do, and except he didn't have any of the shortcomings of a sinful nature. Amen? 12 years old, he's in the temple teaching the teachers. That's why Psalm 119, verse 97 through 104 or 107, if you want to put that in your notes, where Jesus prophesied about himself before he even came into the earth, he said, I have more wisdom than my teachers. Amen? That's what he said about himself in Psalm 119. He prophesied that. Amen? He did all by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was sent of God into the earth by the Holy Spirit. He was birthed through Mary's womb by the agency of the Holy Spirit. His physical, his intellectual, and his spiritual growth is all attributed to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let me just read to you Isaiah 11, chapter 1. There shall come forth a rod. What are we talking about here today? We're talking about Jesus being anointed of the Holy Spirit and not doing everything he did because he was God, which he was. But the Bible says he stripped himself of the deity he knew in heaven. He humbled himself like unto the fashion of a man. He became a man like you and me. And if you're a woman, you're a man. You're a man with a womb. That's why I tell you all the time, you're a womb man, but you're a man. And he humbles himself to become just like you and just like me. And he did everything he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if he did all these things by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do all these things by the power of the Holy Spirit too. Because Jesus said, the works that I do, in the same way I do them, you'll do them too. Only greater works you'll do. Because I'm going back to heaven. And once I'm up there, I won't need the Holy Ghost on me anymore. I can send him back to indwell you. And you can run around in the earth like a bunch of little Jesuses, doing the works of Jesus until he returns and catches us out of here.
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah 11, verse 1, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. That's Jesus. Verse 2 says, in the Spirit, please say Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Yes, Jesus was perfect and complete in his divinity. But his human spirit and his human mind and his human body developed just like yours and mine, all by the agency of the Holy Spirit within him. Are you getting anything out of this? Go over to Matthew chapter 3. Fourth thing I want you to look at. When he was... See, we just saw him at 12 years old. Amen. In the temple. And then all of a sudden, there's 18 years missing from his life in the Scripture. Where was he? He's burning the midnight oil. I said he was burning the midnight oil those 18 years he's missing in Scripture. He's studying. He was studying to show himself approved of God. He was learning his Father's Word. He was learning as a boy about himself in the book that he wrote about himself prior to his coming here. He's studying who he was. Studying the Father's will for you, for me, the nation of Israel, the people of the world. Amen? He dropped out of sight for 18 years studying. And then he shows up at 30 years of age, right here in Matthew chapter 3, to be anointed with power with the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit for ministry. Here he reappears, Matthew 3, you're there in verse 16. He went down to the river Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptizer. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. Say amen if you're there. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the who? The Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him, lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now this particular bestowal of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus was for the official purpose of equipping him for public ministry. If you hear anything I say today, hear this. Up until this point in Jesus' life, when he's approximately 30 years old, and the Holy Spirit came upon him when he was down in the River Jordan being water baptized. Now get this, he never performed one miracle before this day. We have no record in Scripture of Jesus ever performing one miracle until he was 30 years old in Matthew 3:16, and the Holy Spirit came upon him in the River Jordan to cast out unclean spirits, set the captives free, heal the sick. He never performed one miracle until the Holy Spirit came upon him at approximately 30 years of age. Does that speak to you? Jesus did everything he did by the agency of the Holy Spirit. It was only after his River Jordan experience, go to Luke 4 if you would, that Jesus could stand up and publicly declare who he was and why he was here and how he was about to do the things that he did. Amen? Are you getting anything out of this today? Jesus was sent into the earth by the Holy Spirit. He was birthed in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. He grew emotionally, spiritually, and intellectually by the agency of the Holy Spirit. He was anointed of the Holy Spirit to cast out unclean spirits, heal the sick, raise the dead, set the captives free. He never performed one miracle in his life until the Holy Spirit of God came upon him after this River Jordan experience. And are you there in Luke chapter 4? It was only after he came up out of the River Jordan that he made this statement in Luke chapter 4. The Spirit, verse 18, Luke 4:18, for you note takers, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Amen? It's customary to believe that Jesus' great works were the result of some inherent greatness on the inside of him, but that's not the case. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. Hallelujah. I appreciate your interest, Helen. Hallelujah. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus did the works he did because of some inherent greatness as the Son of God. The Bible says Jesus did the miracle works that he did because he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. Just like you ought to be today if you're not. That's how the devil was able to hold me with drugs. Amphetamines and cocaine and marijuana, and if it burned, I smoked it. Cocaine. Alcohol. If it ran fluid, I drank it. And it was only through a minister who ministered the gospel to me by the agency of the Holy Spirit that I was able to be set free supernaturally from drug and alcohol addiction. When that hand, that giant hand, you can read it on the website, johnhamelministries.org. You can read my personal testimony. It's called the Albuquerque Fire Pit. That hand came upon my head three times, a giant hand, three times the size of this hand. It came on my head three times. And on the third time, the power of God hit me, and I was slain in the spirit. I fell under the power of God for nearly three full days. I lay in my living room three full days. I didn't dream. I didn't eat. I didn't drink. I didn't use the facilities. I don't believe I was breathing. And when I came to 3 days later, I was supernaturally delivered from smoking anything that had burned and drinking anything that was fluid and would run into my mouth. Amen? That's supernatural. That man did that on my behalf through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Sent that angel that came into my living room and touched me on the top of my head. More than touched me, man. A monstrous hand. It covered from ear to ear down to the top of my nose. One giant hand. Supernaturally set free from drug and alcohol addiction. By God's angel who was sent by the Holy Spirit. Everything God does in this earth, He does through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Everything that Jesus did, He did by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Go to Luke, Acts chapter 10, if you would please. Jesus healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You get anything out of this? Shall we finish or shall we just break it up? Let's finish it. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I want to pray for you. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. As you're going over there to Acts chapter 10 in your Bible, let me just remind you again. Jesus was sent into this earth by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. Jesus developed as a child into a man just like we do, only through the agency of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus went down to the River Jordan to be water baptized. And when he came up, the Spirit of God descended upon him. He said he saw a dove, which is always symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit, come upon him. And from that day forth, he began to perform supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles that never happened in his life that we know of in Scripture till the Holy Spirit came upon him. Is God talking to you in that? Is God trying to tell you something in that? Amen. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive miracle work and power. Amen. Prayers haven't been as effective as you want them to be. You need to just tell Jesus, you're my choice. Amen. No more horoscope. No more of the world's false religions, tell him. No more of the world's make-believe disciplines. No more of that garbage. Just Jesus! And the baptism with the Holy Spirit. That's the key to your success in life. Amen. That's the key to the devil letting go of you once and for all. Hallelujah. That's the key to your healing. Amen. You know, God has a plan for your life. Do you know that Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, the Bible says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope and to bring you to an expected end. You're in this earth on purpose. You were birthed into this earth on purpose." You know, the devil kept me bound by drugs and alcohol for years so that I wouldn't find out who I was. So I couldn't find out what God's plan for me really was. That's what he does to all of us. But you're here on purpose. God has a plan for you. But you're never going to know what it is until you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And you're never going to walk in the fullness of it until you get filled with Holy Spirit power the way Jesus was filled with Holy Spirit power. I'm just talking to you by the agency of the Holy Spirit today. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus healed all those healings that you know of in the Bible since your youth, since your childhood, since when you first saw him on the flannel graph board. All those miracles that you're so acquainted with were all performed by the agency of the Holy Spirit through Jesus. Are you there in Acts chapter 10? Verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what? Power! Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil? For God was with him. Do you know that all oppression is of the devil? Do you know that God didn't bind me with drugs and alcohol? You know God wasn't my problem. God was my solution. You know God wasn't mad at me. Jesus said it's the thief who comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. God's not mad at you if you're bound up in drugs and alcohol today. That was a revelation to me. John 10:10 is the greatest revelation in all of Scripture. Where Jesus said, it's the thief who comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. Amen. God's never your problem. God's always your solution. God's not the damner. He's the blesser. Remember that man who was God damning this and God damning that at the YMCA I told you about how many times? I'm going to tell you about him again right now. He's standing there. Right in front of me, talking to somebody else. And this goddamn situation, that goddamn person, and this goddamn thing. And I just started saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And he finally stopped that goddamn mess. And looked at me and he said, what are you doing praising the Lord? I said, I'm getting equal time. You're calling him the damner, I'm calling him the blesser. I got scripture, you don't. God is not the damner. He's the blesser. Jesus said Satan is the damner. You got trouble today? Your trouble's with Satan, not with God. He's not mad at you. Amen? He's not mad! What a revelation! He's not wrath. He's love. He who knoweth not, he who loveth not, knoweth not God. For God is what? Oh, man, I can't believe when we first came here to Cape Cod, the wrath of God preaching we heard here. I said, Barbara, get me a shovel and a bucket. We got to clean this up. God's not wrath. Satan is wrathful. Satan, the Bible says, has great wrath because he knows his hour is coming. But God is love. For God so loved the world in John 3:16 that he gave his only begotten Son. He had the Holy Spirit send him. That whosoever believeth on him might not perish, but might have life everlasting. For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved and delivered through him. God is not your problem today. God is your solution. Amen. Did I get that? Did I drive that in? Amen. God takes a bum rap, particularly in religious pockets of the world, like Roman Catholic Massachusetts. Amen. I can say this. I grew up here. But God had to take me out of here for 25 years so I could learn His Word. And then He sent me right back. Hallelujah. God takes such a bum rap. People blaming Him for all the evil in the world. And the Bible says in James 1:17, only good and perfect gifts come down from the Father above, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That means God is good. He's always been good, always going to be good, and it ain't and never going to change. I learned how to talk like that from Kenneth Hagin. Texas colloquialisms. And it ain't and never going to change. I thought, that's anointed. I'm going to get me some cowboy boots and say them things. Hallelujah. God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He went about. Listen, go over to Matthew chapter 12. We don't have much time left here. Jesus cast out. We just saw in Acts 10:38 that he healed the sick by the agency of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Broke the power of the devil. Jesus specifically said himself that he cast out unclean spirits by the agency. When I say the agency, I mean the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Here in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus had just cast an unclean spirit out of some cat. That's not cat. That's a hip slang term. This is a human being cat. A dude. A man. He had spirits in him that were making him deaf and dumb, as in he couldn't speak. Jesus cast the spirit out of him, and the Pharisees, the religious people, said, he just did that by the spirit of Beelzebub, the spirit of devil, the lord of the flies. They call him the lord of the dunghill. That's what they said. He said, you're the lord of the dunghill. They said, you're full of dung, Jesus. And you did that by the spirit of dung. Jesus said, you watch it. You watch what you say. Because every sin against God can be forgiven. Every blasphemy against Jesus can be forgiven, he said. But when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit by whom I do these miracles, you cannot be forgiven. And then look what he said to them right here in Matthew chapter 12, verse 26. When they said Satan was casting out spirits through Jesus, he said, if Satan casts out Satan, he's divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? He said, Satan's not smart, but at least he's smart enough to not tear his own kingdom down. I'm not casting spirits out by Satan. Look, verse 28, he said, if I cast out devils or demons by the Spirit of God, see the Spirit of God, you see that? That's the Holy Spirit. I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Amen? He not only made it very clear the foolishness of Satan casting himself out of someone, but he, again, right here, revealed the source of his power for this type of ministry. Pastor, you're going in a blowing today. I am. Amen? Because if Jesus was this dependent upon the Holy Spirit, how dependent are we upon the person of the Holy Spirit? This is good preaching. Say, Pastor. This is good preaching. Some of the best yet. Thank you for saying so. Amen. Everything he did. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Everything Jesus did in life, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was always the first one to say so. Amen. He was sent into the earth by the Holy Spirit. He was placed in the virgin's womb by the Holy Spirit. He was trained emotionally, physically, and spiritually by the Holy Spirit. He was sent into the wilderness to be tested by the Holy Spirit. He performed every miracle he performed by the agency of the Holy Spirit. You know what else he did by the Holy Spirit? We're going to look at in Hebrews 9. He died by the Holy Spirit. He died in a manner that was acceptable to God by the agency of the Holy Spirit. He had to die with a proper attitude, or it wouldn't have been accepted by God, his dying on our behalf. Amen? If he died grudgingly, if he died hatefully, if he died resentfully, if he died regretfully, God couldn't accept that kind of offering. As we've been seeing as we take up the offering at the beginning of the services these two Sundays from Malachi chapter 1, we saw there's certain offerings God will accept, and there's certain offerings he won't accept. If you weren't with us this morning, we showed you from Malachi chapter 1, 12 and 13, God doesn't accept blowhard offerings. If you weren't here, you missed it. Come talk to me later. Amen? Hallelujah. But God said that. And Jesus, if he died grudgingly or with bitterness, ill will in his heart towards human beings for what he had to go through to redeem us, God wouldn't have accepted that. Amen? He had to go to the cross lovingly. He had to go willingly. He had to go respectfully. Listen, the Bible says God only accepts cheerful giving. Whoo! And the Holy Spirit of God made all of this possible for Jesus. Are you there in Hebrews 9? Look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal, who? Spirit. Capital S, Holy Spirit, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God on that cross that day. That word spot means faultlessly and without blemish. He offered himself without spot. That day on Calvary, he said, how much more will God purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? But what I wanted you to see right here is that the Holy Spirit made it possible for Jesus to offer himself on the cross. Can you see that? With a respectful, humble, willing, loving attitude. Any other way would not have been acceptable to God. The Holy Spirit enabled Jesus to die properly. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 10, I'll just read it to you for time's sake. We don't have time to turn to more scriptures here. Jesus said, My Father loveth me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. You know these verses of scripture. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. That's John 10, 17 and 18. He said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. That word power that he used two times is exousia. Did you hear that? We're not through, so you're not through taking notes, are you? John 10, 17 and 18, he said, I have exousia power to lay it down. I have exousia power to take it up. Again, it's a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enabled him to lay his life down and to take his life up again. That's what Jesus said. He attributed everything that occurred in his life to the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 11 says, If the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, Paul said, in Romans 8, 11. The Spirit of him, not it, who rose Jesus from the dead. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. Can you see the role that the Holy Spirit played in the life of our precious Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? Listen, if he needed the Holy Spirit to live, to teach, to preach, to heal, to cast out spirits, to die, and to live again, you need the Holy Spirit to live, to teach, to preach, to heal, cast out unclean spirits, die and live again. It's one thing to have Jesus living on the inside of you, but it's another experience altogether to have the power that Jesus had living in him, living in you. I said, it's one thing to have Jesus living on the inside of you, but it's another experience altogether to have the power that Jesus had living in him, living in you. You need the Holy Spirit. We all need the Holy Spirit. Amen? Jesus wants to give you Holy Spirit power. John the Baptist said in Matthew chapter 3:11, he said, I come to baptize you with water. But someone's coming down the pike right behind me, and he wants to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And that word fire is actually lightning. It's a reference to the glory. The lightning-like shafts of splendor that Hosea the prophet saw pouring out of the hands of God. He wants to baptize you with that glory, that lightning, that power, that fire, if you're born again today. That's his will. That's what John said. Amen. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I want to ask you to bow your heads for a moment, please. Hallelujah. If you'd bow your heads, please. Hallelujah. 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 You don't qualify to become a vessel of the Holy Spirit unless Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. No man. No man. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved from the penalty and the punishment of your sins. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus also said, Whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast you out. I want to ask you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, and no one looking around, please, to put your hand up over your head if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If you have asked Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior, put your hand up. I need to know. Hallelujah. I see those hands. You may put them down. You may put them down. Hallelujah. If you've not been baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, if you've not experienced this type of power, in your life, that was on the life and ministry of Jesus, you need it. And God is offering it to you today. I'm going to let you go ahead and put your heads up, if you would. Lift your heads. And I'm going to give you opportunity. If you have not been baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that was on the life of Jesus, the same power that's on my life, the same power that set me free from drug and alcohol addiction and living an immoral lifestyle before God, I didn't know what I was doing. God came and pulled me out of a rut, anointed me with Holy Ghost power, put a call of God on my life. That same Holy Spirit of God beckons to you today, humbly beseeches you today, behooves you today to be filled with His power, to become a vessel of His power. Jesus said, "You shall receive power only once the Holy Ghost has come upon you." If you're born again, you have a certain degree of God's power available to you. But you don't have the fullness of God available to you yet, the fullness that Jesus experienced. You need Holy Ghost power to live in this earth, to develop properly in the will of God for your life, to teach the Bible, preach the Bible, to heal the sick, cast out unclean spirits, to die yourself and to raise again. You need the Holy Spirit like Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you opportunity today. If you have not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we want to give you opportunity today to just step right up here right now. Come right up here now. See, don't miss this opportunity. You know the Holy Spirit. It's Him. He's tugging at your spirit right now. You know who you are. You know what your needs are. You want to be pleasing to God. And He's calling you today to come up here now. Allow me to lay my hands on you, and you will receive Holy Spirit power. This is your opportunity. Come now. Come now. If you're bound in any realm of your existence in any way, God wants to set you free. I want to pray for you. We want to break the power of the devil off your life. The Bible says in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you're born again and bound in any area of your life, God wants to set you free. He's not mad at you. He wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you with Holy Spirit power. You need power. You need power. You need power. And you're here today by divine appointment. Do not go home from here today having left behind the gift that God had for you. Peter said, as you have received the gift, so impart it to every man. I want to impart Holy Spirit power to you. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what you might look like or what you think you might look like to others. It only matters that you obey God right now. God's calling you to stand up here. God's calling you to stand up here. Come now. Come now and receive Holy Spirit power. If you already are filled with the Holy Spirit, Psalm 92:10 says that God wants to anoint you with fresh oil from heaven. If you need a fresh impartation, if you need a fresh anointing upon your life, if you want to be anointed with fresh oil from heaven, you come too. You come too. Hallelujah. Just come right up here, sister. Stand right there if you would.